You are now online with Andrea, with your host, Andrea Garrison.
Good afternoon. Welcome. You are now online with Andrea, and I am your host, Andrea Garrison. And I'd like to encourage all of our listeners to practice the universal law of giving by doing whatever you can to reach out to help others. Our topic today is the book, Green Envy, Recipes for Homemade Personal Care and Cleaning Products, plus money-saving tips on living an eco-friendly, sustainable lifestyle. And our guest is author Michael Temez. Welcome back, Michael. How are you today?
Andrea, I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I love your work. And because we had a wonderful conversation about your other book, Transformative Nutrition. So people should actually, when they look you up, they should check out that book as well. And I must say, after the transformative nutrition discussion, I realized you had the green book, which I was very excited about. So if you would please share with us when and why you developed a strong passion for the environment. So much so that you became an eco consultant.
It started back when I was a kid. I would, growing up in Chicago, in a not so nice neighborhood, there was always trash everywhere and it bothered me. So I would get a tall garbage bag and I'd go out there and I'd pick up the trash in front of our apartment, all up and down the block. And I'd collect just from one city block, I would collect a full bag of garbage. And doing that really had me see how pretty much our environment is our home. And we share the same home. So it really made me sad to see how we pollute our home and then wonder why we have all this stuff going on with the environment and everything. And at that, you know, being at a young age, I felt this connection and I really wanted to understand it more. So as the years went by, I would pick up garbage wherever. And then I really started focusing on how we can create energy, how we can save energy from scratch, like basically harnessing the sunshine and harnessing the wind and harnessing any natural resource that we have to make, you know, electricity. And I just started implementing small things like saving on electricity usage and recycling and even upcycling, reusing stuff. And my passion for it really started growing and growing. And I figured, okay, well, I want to be able to help people or share this with people. So I did an online course to become certified as an eco consultant, which is basically someone who goes to houses or businesses and does an audit of their space. So, you know, I go through their space, whether it's their apartment, their house, or their business, and make a list of everything that they could implement. A lot of the things are they're either free or they're really inexpensive to implement to A, save money, B, have a lighter carbon footprint on the environment, and C, just being able to have that, you know, feel good about your choices and what, you know, your actions. So all that passion combined had me get that certification so I could actually do that. And now I've actually integrated the eco consultations with my health coaching, because I've come to the realization that green friendly, eco-friendly living is actually part, a very big interconnected part of the holistic lifestyle. And especially nowadays, everyone is, you know, interested in organic food and GMO-free and pesticide-free. And, you know, we're concerned about the chemicals in our cleaning products, in our home care products, in our personal care products. And that's why I wrote the book, Green with Envy, is to give people the recipes that I actually use myself so we can, you know, start making our own products and become independent of these chemical companies. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's beautiful. I mean, you were quite enterprising, you know, to be so young doing that. If you would please define green living, and how does one begin the process of going green?
Well, green living, I mean, it's no secret that it's a buzzword these days. You know, we hear it everywhere. Go green, recycle. Yeah, it's kind of funny because it's kind of sad because it's being monetized now, and people are making a business out of it and not doing it for the sole purpose of protecting the environment and its precious resources. So going green for me is more than a buzzword. It's more like an intimate, sacred connection that we have to the planet that sustains us, that provides food for us and nourishes us, gives us the water that we need and the air to breathe and all this stuff. That's what green living is to me. It's life itself, because without a sustaining environment, nothing else can exist. So our jobs, our relationships, our people that we love, our health even, our money, all of that stuff won't matter if we don't have a healthy home or a healthy environment to call our home. So that's a very powerful concept to understand when you take into consideration how you can start implementing going green in your lifestyle. Is how can I be more consciously aware of every choice that I'm taking, every action that I make, everything that I do, and how it affects the environment? That's the first thing. That would be the first step, is to really get present to how you interact with the environment and how you can implement small steps to have a lighter impact, a lighter footprint on the environment.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Now you say that your book was designed to inspire people to transform their conscious connection to the earth, which is a beautiful thing, because obviously you had that. You started out so early. You cared at a very early age, and then to create this work, this book, which you were actually giving away, correct?
Not anymore. I actually have it's a sample.
Right.
It's available though on Amazon now, and actually, I took that down. I used to have it on my newsletter, for my free newsletter.
Right.
But I now have a sample of my other book, which I'm promoting right now. So it is not currently free at this time, but it's only 99 cents on Amazon.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's great. But I think it's a beautiful goal, to want to help to transform, or help people to realize that we are all connected. And I think when we discussed your other book, we were talking about the connection and how, everything is connected. And as well as with the environment, we're all connected. Everything, the earth, the water, the air, and everything that we do contributes to making the earth better, a better place, a better home for all of us.
Or a more polluted environment. It can go either way, you know. The choice is there. And some people, unfortunately, make the choice to actually cause more harm. So that's why, you know, more awareness helps people to really understand the impact of choosing to harm the environment as opposed to support the environment.
Well, that's why your work is so important. And your goal, which you said, was to help to transform the consciousness so that more people will be inspired to protect the earth as opposed to hurting it. And I'm wondering if one of the major problems is that people don't realize what they're doing or that what they do actually hurts the earth. I'm not so sure that everyone is as aware as you are, which is why I think I was so excited about your book.
You know, I think, well, I know, I agree to an extent because, I mean, I see people, you know, they'll flick cigarette butts out of their car and not realize that that cigarette butt may take 10 years to decompose. I mean, the tobacco and the paper around it will decompose fast because they're natural substances. But the filter is made with like a styrofoam plastic substance, which is going to take years to decompose. And I don't think people realize that. They just think that, oh, it's tobacco and paper. It'll biodegrade. But that small piece of plastic, whatever that is, can actually get confused. I mean, a bird or an animal can confuse it for food and eat it. Or, you know, when you think about the thousands of cigarette butts that are polluting our streets, and when it rains, all those cigarette butts end up in the sewer, and then they all end up in the streams and water and lakes and rivers, and they all end up eventually just polluting our water system. So just small things like that, people don't realize when they're flicking their cigarette butt out. But I think that some people do and don't care at the same time. I mean, there's different levels of caring and understanding and consciousness going on out there. There's people that flick it and don't know. There's people that flick it and don't care. There's people that flick the cigarette butt and are like, I feel bad, but I don't have an ashtray in my car and I'm too lazy to buy one. I mean, there's so many different things going on, you know? So it's just interesting when you look at it that way. It's like the levels of awareness and caring about the environment vary between people. So it's really interesting to see that. And it's really difficult at the same time to see someone polluting the environment when, you know, when I have such a love for the environment and want to clean it instead of pollute it. It's difficult sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably, you know, a good thing to start with young people, with children, hoping that they will grow up with you as the model, of course, one of the models. And, you know, and so we can look to them to in the future to help to keep to protect our planet. You know, it's funny. I was thinking about plastic bags and how,
oh God, they're horrible.
And how we hear about so much wildlife. You know, they're consuming these bags.
Oh, it's awful.
And I mean, it actually strangles some of the birds, and so, you know, it really is a major problem, and not only in the U.S. but globally, this is a big issue.
I can't believe that still in 2017 we're using plastic bags. I mean, how archaic are we going to be? I mean, how much are we going to cling to old ways from the 70s and 80s that don't work anymore? I mean, I still see, especially where I live in Florida, I call Florida the styrofoam state, because I swear I've seen more styrofoam used here, more plastic used here than anywhere I've been. It's insane. And the amount of waste created with these plastic bags and the styrofoam containers is just monumental. And I just don't understand it when there's natural alternatives. They make containers now, you know, like a restaurant type of takeout containers with biodegradable compostable materials. And they were still using the styrofoam. But the plastic bag issue is just unreal. I mean, I go to the grocery store and I see hundreds of plastic bags being wheeled out in carts. And it's like, there's like 2-3 items in some of these bags. Some even like one item per bag. It's like, what is going on here? I mean, we really got to do something about the plastic bag issue because it's bad. And some cities have actually banned plastic bags in the United States. And that's a good direction forward. I think San Francisco and possibly Portland, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure a couple of the states on the West Coast have implemented laws against plastic bags, which is great. And we need to really get that awareness throughout the country because, you know, we can't keep using plastic and it ending up in our landfills and in the polluting our waters and it strangling and suffocating wildlife. It's bad. I think India, I'm not 100% sure, but I think that India has banned plastic bags as well because it was getting to be a really bad problem of them clogging the sewage system and causing all kinds of crazy issues with that. So,
well, there's a big issue with drinkable water around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really important that all of us do our part to help. Now, you bring up a term in your book called the energy vampire slayer. So I love that. So if you can tell us about the energy vampire slayer and how do we kill the vampire?
The energy vampire.
Yeah.
It's that little blue light that you see when you turn your device off. So we think we turn it off and yet we still see a light. So that kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it? Like, why is there a light on when I turned it off?
Right.
So that light is actually a standby light, which consumes up to 60% of the operating power. So, and it depends on I'm sure some of the newer models that are ENERGY STAR rated have improved on the energy usage of standby mode, but still we're using power just to have that light on, just to make it convenient for us that when we push the on button, it comes right back up without having to boot or anything or warm up. But the drawback of that is when we have multiple of these devices, you know, DVD players, cable boxes, modems, routers, all these common electronics that we have, even TVs, especially TVs in standby mode, use so much vampire power that vampire power is basically sleuth power. It's sucking energy even when you think your devices are off. So we want to slay these vampires because they're basically sucking us dry. They're taking our energy up and making us pay for it. And they're not even contributing. So they're leeches, these vampires. So we have to eliminate them. And the easiest way is to get to install surge protected outlets that have multiple plugs on them. So they sell them anywhere between like 4 and 12. Some even have more outlets on them, and some of them are even set up to where you can have multiple transformers in there. The block plug-in ones. So the nice thing I like about the surge protected outlets like that is that some of them even have remote switches so you can turn them off if they're behind like a dresser. But once you hit that off button and you turn all of the devices off, it kills all that standby power. So it's not drawing that energy anymore and saving you money. And if you have like 2 or 3 TVs throughout your house that are connected to DVD players and cable boxes that are always in standby mode, once you cut that vampire power, you will definitely see a decrease in your electric bill per month. I mean, I've seen people that I've that I've implemented that with, when I've done home energy audits, I've seen them save, you know, like $5-$10 a month just by doing that simple thing alone. I mean, that doesn't sound like much, but you take $10, you know, times the whole year, that's pretty decent, you know.
It adds
over $100 in savings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now let's now you cover a lot in your book. Now let's talk about household cleaners. You say that you should be able to eat and drink your household cleaners. I love that.
Yeah. You ever see the movie Road Trip?
No, I didn't see that.
No, not Road Trip. I'm sorry. No, what is it? No, Guilt Trip. Guilt Trip.
Okay.
The guy, I forget his name. I'm not good with actors' names, but the guy is a sales representative. Well, he has his own company, and he makes this environmentally friendly, totally organic, all-purpose cleaner and cleaning products. And in the movie, he's to prove his point that we should be able to drink our all-purpose cleaner. He drinks his all-purpose cleaner in his demonstrations.
Oh, goodness.
So it was kind of cool. Like I remembered seeing that in the movie, and you know, connecting that with me making my own personal care and cleaning products over the years. I was like, well, that's kind of cool that they made a movie where this guy kind of put that out there to make it funny, but also at the same time to be serious with people. Like, really, you should be able to. There shouldn't be unpronounceable ingredients in your cleaning products. There shouldn't be harsh, toxic chemicals that can poison you or your family, your kids or your pets. You know, we should be using stuff like coconut oil and vinegar and salt and baking soda. These are lemon. These are all ingredients that come from the kitchen that are incredibly powerful at cleaning and disinfecting. And I enjoyed sharing these recipes because I want people to be able to not only make their products and be 100% certain that their family is going to be safe with the products they use, but they can also save a lot of money. I mean, I make a batch of deodorant and it lasts me like 2 or 3 months, and it's just as effective, if not even more effective, than the stuff you buy at the store that's loaded with chemicals. I make my deodorant for my wife, my mom, a bunch of people in my family, and they're like, this deodorant is amazing. It rolls on just like, you know, the regular stick deodorant, and it works. And I live in Florida, and it's hot and you sweat a lot. And
so you need a good deodorant.
I need a good deodorant, and this works. Everyone I give it to here is like, I cannot believe that this homemade stuff, four ingredients.
So
that's all it is.
You got to tell me though, how did you come up with the recipes for the cleaners and for the homemade personal care products? I mean, how did you
the
do
cleaners?
That? Yeah.
The cleaners I've been doing for years, and I would experiment every time I'd make one, a different one. And sometimes I would put a little bit more orange oil than vinegar. Sometimes I would put, instead of orange, I'd put lemon. It all depended on the scent I wanted for that time. And also, it all depended on if I was making an all-purpose cleaner or a glass cleaner, window cleaner. So I would experiment kind of like a chemist with the amount of Castel soap compared to the amount of essential oil, you know, compared to the amount of, say, baking soda or vinegar that I would put in there. It all depended. And over the years of doing that, I finally found out what the exact amount is to have a streakless window and glass cleaner and a nice smelling but not too soapy all-purpose cleaner, and then also a disinfectant spray and also furniture cleaner. So it's developed over the years, and I finally nailed it down to what would be perfect to actually tell people, and that's why I made the recipes. But the deodorant was a combination of my friend actually had experimented with using coconut oil and baking soda to make a deodorant. And then he told me about it, and then I looked into it, and then I actually added, you can either do arrowroot powder or cornstarch. Cornstarch and arrowroot powder are both effective at absorbing odor. So the baking soda in the deodorant is effective at absorbing the odor, and the cornstarch is effective at absorbing some of the sweat. So both of them are a good synergy together with the coconut oil. So I started experimenting with the amounts that would make it be just like a regular deodorant in the stick that you roll up. And I got to the point where I figured it out, and it comes out perfectly now. And it looks like deodorant. It smells like it. It rolls on. You would never even know if you gave it to someone to use. It applies just like store bought. So it took a little bit of experimenting with the ingredients to come up with the blends that actually make it to where it's not a mess, or it's not, you know, too hard where it doesn't spread all over, you know?
Well, see, now I'm waiting to see your line of products.
You know what? I thought about that, but you know what, Andrea? Instead of making products and selling them, I would rather empower people and give them the tools to do it themselves.
Right.
So what that means is sharing the recipes with them and having them create, having them be an alchemist, a chemist, a creator of nature themselves. Because to me, that's more rewarding than making a product line. Because when you teach people how to do something, that's, to me, I'd rather do that, because, yeah, you know, just like they say, you can give a man a fish and he eats for a day. You teach him how to fish and he eats for his life. That's how I kind of look at it.
Right. Yeah, that's actually beautiful that you're into sharing like that and empowering people so that they can do it themselves. Now, you also talk about how important it is for us to read the labels and understand the ingredients that are in the products that we use. And it's interesting because we also talk about that in your other book, how important it is to read the ingredients when you're buying food. And the same with personal care products and household cleaners. I think a lot of people just go for the names and they just buy it and they assume a major company and this is fine. But that's not always the case.
It's not. And it's sadly, it's even not the case when you look at natural or so-called natural products at the, even like your, you know, like Whole Foods or any natural food store or co-op or something like that. You know, just because it says natural doesn't mean it's all natural. And that's really sad, because you want to be able to trust the label, but you can't. You cannot trust labels.
Sometimes you can't even read the labels because the print is so small. It makes you wonder,
exactly,
do they really want you to know what they have in there?
It pretty much seems like they don't want you to know, because the labels are deceiving. Because when you look at the label and it says all natural or contains all natural ingredients, you turn the product around, you actually read the ingredients, you come to find that it has unpronounceable words, 17 letter words, and it's like, what the heck is methyl oxal benzyl chloride polyphenol? I mean, there's so many ridiculously long words, and it's like, okay, these are all chemicals. And a lot of the time, some of these even so-called natural brands will say, like, they'll put a chemical and they'll say coconut derived, or it'll say like derived from some naturally occurring substance some century ago or something. I don't know, something ridiculous to justify their reasoning for the chemical. And it's really sad that we've gotten to this level where even natural products, you have to read the ingredients because there's chemicals in them. And I mean, especially the conventional products, forget about it. You turn the product around and look at the label, you're probably not even going to be able to pronounce some of those words in there because they're crazy long chemicals, scientific names, and this, all this crazy stuff.
Natural chemicals, right, Mike?
yeah, natural chemicals, organic chemicals. Yeah. Natural, yeah.
So now let's talk about heating and cooling our home efficiently because, you cover the gambit here. And people really should get the book because the recipes alone are amazing.
They're worth their weight in gold. They really are because they enable you to make some of the most frequently used products that not only save you money, but prevent you from, I'll put it this way. Our skin is our largest organ. So we don't want to be putting toxins on it with chemical soap and shampoos and deodorants and all this stuff. So that's why I share these recipes in the book because I don't want people to use, you know, this chemicals anymore because it's kind of tough when you interact with people and they don't understand how saving a couple of dollars to buy a conventional deodorant or shampoo as opposed to buying an all organic one, they don't understand the consequence of that. You know, that saving the $2 is going to cause your skin to absorb all these chemicals in the shampoo or the deodorant. So that's why I try to educate people as much as possible and, you know, share this book because it has these recipes that I kind of formulated throughout the years to enable people to have this, to make this for themselves. I think it's cool because it enables people to take some of the power back into their hands from these, you know, multi-million dollar companies that manufacture these chemical products, you know?
And what's so great is it's easy to find the ingredients.
Oh, you find them any grocery store. You don't even have to go to a specialty store. That's what's amazing about it. It really is.
Right. Yeah. So let's talk about heating and cooling our home efficiently.
So think about the thermostat, especially during any season. Like, say, for example, in winter, you live in Minnesota in a northern climate. If you turn the temperature down a few degrees, you can actually save. I've read it. You can actually save up to 5% per degree that you turn it down. Same thing in summer or in a hot climate. If you turn it up, turn the temperature up, you can save money that way. Or even installing a programmable thermostat, so you don't have to manually do it yourself. That will actually, you can set it to, you know, every day of the week even, and then set it to like certain hours to be cooler or hotter. So when you leave for the day to go to work, it adjusts the temperature accordingly so you don't heat or cool an empty space, you know? So that will actually help you save money on your energy bills. And I've seen people that just the simple task of adjusting their thermostat accordingly or installing a programmable one have saved quite a bit of money on their electric bill or their gas bill or whatever they use to heat and cool their home.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And then you also have tips for when you approach the holiday season, which includes saving real trees and using artificial trees. And I love that because I love trees.
Mm-hmm. Some people just can't get away from having a real pine tree for Christmas,
right?
Or for the holidays. And if you're, you know, if you're one of those people, I highly suggest considering getting a potted pine tree, so you can either reuse it every year and decorate it, or you can use it one season, one holiday season, and then plant it in spring. So that way, you know, it's not going to the landfill and polluting the landfill and adding more methane to the environment. Because when you put landscape waste like trees and plants and leaves and stuff like that into the into the regular garbage and it goes into the landfill, it mixes with all the other garbage in there and it creates toxic gas that we don't need in our environment. So doing that is really cool because you plant a tree or you save a tree from being cut down just to put lights on for a month or a month and a half, you know. And also investing in a pre-lit tree after the holidays, you can actually get one for half off, sometimes even 70% off at, you know, clearance deals in like January, because, you know, people don't want to buy a Christmas tree in January. So they lower the price and then you have a tree that can last for 15, 20, however many years. And some of these LED lit trees are cool. I mean, I like some of the variations that they have. And you don't even, some of them don't even need lights because they have them in the ends and the tips of them. And it's just kind of cool how you can, the lights kind of flow all around the tree and you don't have to mess with tangled up lights and all that. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's a beautiful, beautiful suggestion. And, you know, as we approach Earth Day, do you have a special message for our listeners on how important it is to care for our home planet Earth? And actually, every day should be Earth Day. It doesn't matter whether, you know, mm-hmm. we're in the month of April or not. Every day is really Earth Day, wouldn't you say?
Oh, that's what I was, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was actually thinking that we designate that day for caring for the Earth, but it really should be every day. And definitely, that's my message, is to be aware of your choices and actions, because they will have some sort of impact on the environment, whether positive or negative. So try to make your impact be a positive one, because we all share the same space as we call our home. You know, we all share the same Earth. So do your part in helping it be clean and sustainable for our future, our current generations and our future generations.
And the thing that is so important, I think, and you said this earlier, is you talked about small steps. And mm-hmm. Nothing is really too small when you look at it. If we all did small things, the cumulative effect, the positive impact
definitely
is amazing, mm-hmm. right? So you can
even
start small, and small is big if we're all doing our part, right?
Just think of it collectively. When you have millions of people doing a small deed, the power that can create, the power of transformation that can create in the world. And exactly what you said, no positive deed is too small, because trust me, there are many people thinking the same thing. And if all these millions of people say, well, it's too small of an action, I'm not going to do it. Think of the impact that would, think of the lack of impact that could cause if all those people are like, well, that's too insignificant, I'm not going to bother, as opposed to millions of people saying, okay, well, I know it's insignificant, you know, it seems insignificant, but I'm going to do it anyway because it's a positive action towards protecting our environment. I mean, think of that. I mean, that's incredible. And it's contagious, because people learn by observing, or people become interested in transforming stuff like this because they see, they observe, and they're like, oh, okay, all right, I see. And you never know whose life you can impact or whose choices you can transform and have them be more aware of what they're doing and how they're interacting with the environment and the Earth and the resources that we have. Because our resources are, it's kind of scary, because I'm wondering about our water resource, you know, our fresh water, where it's at the rate it's being contaminated and polluted, we only have a limited supply of it to begin with. It's kind of scary when you think about it. So we got to do our part to preserve the resources we have.
Yeah, it's so true. It really is. Our resources are drying up, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have anything to share that we have not covered, and any closing reflections?
I would like people to, as I was saying, to really take on having a respect, a mutual respect for the earth that we share as our home, and getting present to every action that you take, and asking yourself, is this going to protect the environment, or is this going to destroy the environment? Because those beautiful animals that you see in the forest and in national, wildlife places, they share the same home that we do. The people, your neighbors, they share the same home. The people on the other side of the planet share the same home. So we're all in this together, and we can all transform this together if we become aware of our actions and how they interact with the environment. And just doing the simple, small thing of taking reusable bags to the grocery store, something like that even is contagious. People see that and they're like, well, that person's using reusable bags. Maybe I should consider that. And you never know. You never know who's going to, by your action, take action. It's kind of cool when you think about it that way.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the bees, you'll read articles and they'll say like the bees are disappearing, or I read something last year where I don't remember what state it was, but just a lot of birds just dropped right out of the sky.
Oh, I remember that actually.
Yeah, this is really serious.
It is because they were saying the birds, the bees are being contaminated, are being poisoned with pesticides and a lot of the chemicals that they're using on crops, which is really alarming.
Right. So that's
why.
So it makes you concerned about the food.
that's where the gap. It's like, where's the gap right there? When you think about green living concept to the healthy living concept, because that's where it crosses over. And then we talk about, like understanding the chemicals in your food and how it relates to your health. That's where the connection is made, from the products that you use to the foods that you eat. And it's really interesting when you think about it, because it's that holistic conversation again. It's really amazing. And that's the same thing, how all that's connected. That's how we're connected to other people and the environment and to animals and everything that shares the same earth, the same planet that we do as a human.
Yeah, it's beautiful work you're doing. In your bio, it says that Michael's mission is to inspire a permanent shift in the way people eat, think, feel, live, and love. And I just wanted to thank you so much for that beautiful mission.
Well, thank you for acknowledging that, because that sums it up right there. It's what it's all about. And that's basically means that we're all connected, and everything we think, feel, understand, and everything we are, our essence is all connected to not only the food we eat, as I was saying, but the environment and the products we use and the choices we make. So just keep that in mind next time, you go to the grocery store and you have these plastic bags, or you look at your electricity bill and you're like, you want to save money, but take it to another level. And what can you do to implement things that can help you save money and live a greener lifestyle?
Yeah, and plant a tree,
and as I say in my book, there's so much you can learn online. Like when I lived in a house and had a big backyard, I built a compost bin. I had a compost tumbler I made too. It was really cool because you can actually take your scraps from the kitchen and turn them into fertile soil to grow your vegetables in. It's kind of cool. You just recycle stuff and create new life out of it. It's an incredible concept.
Yeah, it is beautiful. And if people want to reach you, they should go to michaeltemez.com. Because you are available for nutrition counseling, as well as consulting people on being green.
Yeah, exactly. I kind of combined it all and just do. I actually pretty much have started calling it lifestyle coaching now because it's more accurate as to what I do as a whole. Because it's more than health coaching and it's more than eco consultation.
Right.
And it's all of them at the same time. So I just call it lifestyle coaching now because it just incorporates everything. And yeah, michaeltemez.com would be where you can find my articles and my books, all the work that I've done. And I have a lot of free stuff on my website as well, especially if you sign up for my newsletter, a lot of cool stuff there, a lot of information, a lot of learning that you can, a lot of learning to be had on my website and a lot of cool stuff there. So I recommend checking it out.
And you know, it's funny. I think that's great. Lifestyle coaching, because it really is a lifestyle transformation, really, totally, in order to be healthy. You have to think about the whole. It's not just diet, but it's how you live, right? It's what you do in your house. It's what you do in your community. It's what we do in the world. It's a whole experience, a whole lifestyle experience. And if we all move in that direction, then we can change the world. We can change and make the earth a better place. We can clean up the water. We can clean up the air. We can clean up the earth.
Yes, I totally agree with that. And it resonates with me. And I really hope that it resonates with listeners. And if you have any questions or, you know, want to learn more, just feel free to reach out to me on my website.
Okay, great, Michael. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you again.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure as well.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure. And so I'll be cheering you on. I can't wait to see your next project.
I don't even know what it's going to be, but I know it's going to be something powerful. So
I'm sure.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, we'll stay tuned. Everyone should go to michaeltemez.com. All right.
Thank you.
Take care.
You too.
I would like to thank our guest, Michael Temez, for being here to discuss his book, Green Envy: Recipes for Homemade, Personal Care, and Cleaning Products, plus money-saving tips on eco-friendly, sustainable lifestyle. For more information, please visit www.michaeltemez.com. I would like to encourage all of our listeners to practice the universal law of giving by doing whatever you can to reach out to help others. To each and every one of you out there, thank you so much for joining me, Andrea Garrison, and connecting here online with Andrea. Listen to me live or listen to the archive. Just continue connecting heart to heart. But in the meantime, do whatever you can to reach out to help others and never underestimate the power of a friendly smile. Take care.
Thank you for connecting to Online with Andrea, with your host, Andrea Garrison.